Hello, everyone, and welcome to part two of our special Best of 2023 episode series. Today, we're going to be playing clips for you from our guest, our expert guest from July through December of 2023, some of their best advice and information that we think you really want to hear again. Hopefully, it will re-engage you to listen to the episode again, or if you haven't heard it, listen to it for the first time on any of your favorite podcast platforms or YouTube. So here's the order that you're going to hear clips today, starting in July of 2023, with Janine Yannis-Jones, the Executive Director of Health Alliance for the Uninsured, Jonathan Dobson from Pivot Partners Real Estate Development. Podcast Without Selling was an episode that I did solo. You definitely want to hear how to utilize podcast in your marketing mix. Jeff Barnett calls himself Boston. His nickname is Boston because he is from Boston, has a great Boston accent. We talk about workplace safety and regulations. Kelly McGuire has just started a business from her passion of drinking wine and having conversations about it. So how to turn a pursuit of passion into a business opportunity with Kelly McGuire. We also drank a glass of wine. We tasted it and had a conversation about it. The first time we've done that on the podcast. Ashley Coffey, emerging technology expert, who I also was a guest on her podcast. So she's a prolific podcaster and business consultant as well. So check out Ashley Coffey. Capital Growth was a conversation we had with myself, Bobby Stewart from Insperity, Corey Walker from Insight Partners, and Brad Willis from a local bank. And we had a presentation that we then did a venture capital happy hour about capital growth services that venture capitalists aren't always taking advantage of, some things they didn't know about or were not doing enough with, specifically for venture capital, but it applies to anyone with a small business. Then I spoke with Will Blake. William Blake is a CEO of multiple businesses that he has grown from starting at nothing to multi-million dollar success, and is a part of several nonprofits and giving back to his community as well. We talk a lot about culture and how to develop and scale if you have the right people in the right places. We talked a lot about process as well. Bryce Thompson from Core Construction, but more importantly, Community Through Beer, which is a group of local watering holes, drinking establishments, if you will. Beer, of course, is involved in that. And we definitely had a lot of conversation with him about corporate culture and developing brand consistency again across multiple entities that exist on their own. We talked with Tim Preby from Backslash Creative, formerly TNS Online, TNS Web Design. He rebranded, and his team, himself and his team, took a 2-year process of rebranding TNS to Backslash Creative. So we got deep into the conversation about the how, the when, and the benefits of a rebrand process. And then finally, Chelsea Luxon, who is a amazing scientist, biotech inventor, who has a product that she is introducing to the market that will tell physicians and doctors and nurses, et cetera, if a wound has been infected. It's a nanotechnology. It's been developed right here in Oklahoma. She's going through the FDA approval. We talked about how doing things in the medical field take a long time. You have to do certain types of fundraising, have structured organization, et cetera. So these are some of the highlights of the July through December 2023 Strategic Growth Podcast episodes that we think you will enjoy. If you have not heard that episode and you hear something interesting, go check it out on all your favorite podcast platforms or YouTube. If you have heard the episode, but you want to listen to it again, go check it out. Favorite podcast platforms or on YouTube. Enjoy this episode of Best of 2023 Strategic Growth Podcast, part two.
It's going to take all of us working together, even if we're not in the field of healthcare. Right. It's caring for people and making sure that they're getting access to healthcare. And so there's a lot of different entities that can play a part in that process,
including private business, employers, mm-hmm. et cetera. That's why it was so important to have you on the podcast to have this conversation. I want exactly. my business people to understand that healthy employees, healthy citizens are beneficial to the entire system.
Right. Well, and then that even loops back to having a healthy, effective workforce.
Right.
because you know that because you're having conversations with your team. And so if you're talking to them and coming alongside what they're doing and things that are concerning them, and they mention to you, hey, I got this letter in the mail. Now you know. Mm. Oh, okay. There's a process. You need to take action. What were the suggestions on there? Of course, on the letter, it says, first thing you need to do is go online. We're really fortunate. Oklahoma is one of the only states that has an instant eligibility online. Yep. So when you go to the Sooner Care website and do your re-enrollment, it'll tell you right then if you're eligible or not, or if you've, become over income.
As an entrepreneur, you typically have to be forward thinking. You have to be like,
right,
how do we fix these problems? Where are we wanting to be? How do I get everybody excited about this vision? How do I, get everybody moving, right? And instead, a lot of times that leads to deep dissatisfaction because you're never there fast enough or quick enough. And when you pause and you look back, which is really hard for, I think, most entrepreneurs to do,
right,
you can actually find, oh man, like, look at what's been done, right? Like, this is kind of cool, right? And so that allows you to be more grateful in those moments of tension because you actually have a sense of grounding. So,
well, let's look 5 and 10 years in the future.
Great.
For Pivot and what you think Oklahoma City could look like in the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years.
Yeah, so I think the most exciting thing for Oklahoma City that has been one of its Achilles heels, but I think it could be one of our greatest opportunities is one, we tore down 200 or 300 really beautiful buildings in our urban core during the 60s and urban renewal and IM PACE plan. And we have a lot of areas that have not been revitalized yet because of redlining and historic issues.
You could be utilizing podcasts for whatever it is you do. If you're an entrepreneur, if you're a solopreneur, if you're a venture capitalist, if you run a small business, a big business, if you run a community or professional organization, if you run a nonprofit, if you are a government agency, these are great examples. And also remember, don't forget those regulated industries and those industries that have high ethical concerns. All of those things can benefit from utilizing podcasts. So if you want to know more, if you'd like a deeper conversation, something more specific that fits your scenario, please make sure you contact me and the rest of us at The Golden Group. You can find that contact information on our website, thegoldengroup.com. Also read the follow-up post about different types of industries, different types of businesses, who should be podcasting, who should be utilizing this format. There is a full post on our website about that that is going to correspond with this podcast being posted.
Brought up a good word, culture. What we try to do is we start with a safety culture. And a lot of companies think that, hey, they tell their people, be safe, be safe. You'll never get a culture. It has to start from the top. Mm. And it takes time to work its way down. And, the owner has to believe in that culture to get it to that point.
We talk a lot about crisis communication, about how being prepared before a crisis is the best way to, of course, you want to avoid a crisis or avoid an accident, avoid a fall. You want to, once it starts to happen, be in control of it. But that happens if you're prepared. So same thing on the safety, right? The more preparation you have, the better you're going to be when it happens. Because let's face it, much like we don't want to use our insurance, but we sure need it when it happens.
Correct. You brought up a really good point. Something's going to happen. It's inevitable. But how do we handle that crisis?
Let's taste a little bit of this wine.
And I'm not going to tell you anything about this wine. And that's what I don't want
to. You're going to put me on the spot.
Well, no, I don't want you to. You're just going to taste it and look at it and tell me what you smell and all that.
Okay.
There's no.
Let's do that.
I just want you to find out for yourself what this is versus me telling you what it is.
Okay. And then I'm going to challenge my podcasting skills to describe what we're doing here for those not watching on YouTube but listening. So,
and it's hard because we don't have a white, white under
it's
that
true.
To look
it's
at the color.
The lighting is a little funky in here, but the good thing is it's a dark red. Which
we know that. We know it's a red wine, right?
It is a red wine. Mm-hmm. Let's see how on the nose. Okay. I'm getting some berry, some blackberry. A little bit of pepper, not much.
Mm-hmm. You're really good at this.
I do credit my music theory training, my just consistent hours upon hours of practicing with being a successful business owner, being able to get in uncomfortable situations. When you're on a stage, performing over and over and over, it no longer gets weird if you, like, you know, make a mistake.
You have 4,000 notes, you can miss one or two and you'll be fine.
You'll be fine.
The show goes on.
The show goes on, it's fine. So I really would love to see this marrying of the arts in Oklahoma, the technology in Oklahoma, and the entrepreneurs in Oklahoma. Because I feel like, you know, there's a lot of good stuff happening. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of recreation of things that are happening.
Yes.
So I want to, you know, take out the noise and get to the actual meat and bring those people together so they're not duplicating efforts.
Yes, because it doesn't make sense to duplicate.
Exactly.
We need to add to, not duplicate.
Exactly.
We're going to help you run the companies you invest in better, more effectively, efficiently, something that Brad and I talk about a lot, and more securely so that you have a better opportunity to recoup that investment and to watch those startups really blossom into very profitable business. We all know venture capital is not just writing checks, right? Only in movies do VCs just write checks and go away. VC firms, limited partners, individual investors offer support, connection, and expertise for the startups and early stage companies in their portfolios. And to better support those investments, we've curated a specialized list of additional services and products to assist those business activities in key areas critical to venture capital that they may not have in-house or already have secured. Human resources, treasury services, strategic planning, audience development, fractional leadership, and talent recruiting and retention are some of the topics we're going to talk about today.
It's like, hey, these customers align with my values. And there's kind of a lesson there just in any business.
Yeah.
You know, we're all guilty of taking customers we shouldn't have just because we needed to. And then you realize, yeah, that's why that didn't work out so well. But they had 15 open markets that either they were struggling to find the right people, or they had some people there that just weren't good fits, right? Mm-hmm. And we ended up running business plans for all of these markets, and Oklahoma City was on that list. And it was like, huh, you kind of forget it's there. That sounds bad. Sorry, listeners and viewers.
At one point in history, it would be easy to say that.
Yeah.
Not so much these days, but there have been times in our history that's true.
Oh, gosh. And I tell you, just on paper, you know, competitive market for our space, a growing number of 30s influxing into the market, which are our future customers, you know, a very good quality of life as it relates to cost of living versus income. And then also because we're in the residential home improvement space, you know, obviously there's a high percentage of homeowner occupied dwellings. So we're like, wow, there's something here. And so we came out and visited and just fell in love with this place. We wanted a place that our two sons could then put their roots down because we've been bouncing them all over.
Every decision that I make as a business owner, I want it to be through the lens of people first.
Right.
What's the best for not just, you know, my people at Cord, but best for the people that we're working with,
right,
and that we're contracting with, that are trusting us by hiring us. Like, what's best for them versus whatever it takes to get the next project. So
there are a lot of people involved in construction.
Yeah, right? Oh, yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
You have your people, you have subcontractors, you have the clients, you have city people doing the zoning and approvals and a fire department, like all kinds of things that get involved in construction,
hundreds,
right?
Yeah,
that,
you'll have
that ultimately still comes down to relationships.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it comes, I mean, like I said, you'll have hundreds of people involved in one project, and we'll have 5 to 8 projects going on at once.
Right.
And so it is a unique, I think, opportunity as a business in that aspect to really touch a lot of people that you work with in a relationship way.
Right.
And so, yeah, that's just been a huge, it's a huge, you know, mural on our wall right when you walk in the office so that we don't forget.
And how do your people who work with you, whether they've been there for 5 weeks or five years, what's the personal interaction you get with them when they confirm that you're on the right track by having that as your focus?
That's a good question. So it's actually very timely. So, you know, I'm going to back up a little bit to answer that.
Okay.
So, I remember when I went on my own, I was like, oh man, I'm going to be the best leader. I'm going to be this. And because I've seen what I don't like and what I do like, and I feel like I'm good at this.
Yeah.
And so, oh, this is going to be great. I'm going to be the best owner ever. I have been incredibly humbled, especially in the last 12 months, I'd say. Looking back, I probably have a lot more grace for guys I used to work for, you know, like getting frustrated why they didn't do something a certain way.
Right.
now walking through these in these shoes, like I've got some more grace, and so what I've learned is it's harder to do that, even for somebody like me that I believe I'm naturally better at it than right. most. I think it is genuinely my heart, but it's still a struggle for me because when you're an owner, especially in my situation, I have no partners, no investors, nobody. So it's a very kind of lonely thing. And I've right. talked about that a lot before with other people. And so, you know, it's my mind gets so focused on the problems and the issues and, oh, we got this, you know, I got to think ahead a year down the road to make sure we got work coming up and, right. and the weight, you know, just of people that trust me and work for me. Especially when you're like a young kind of, we're not a startup anymore, but a younger, you know, smaller company.
Right. So we've known each other a long time.
Yep.
I think as I was preparing for this, I was like, I think this will be the person I know the most okay. on the podcast for an interview.
Yep.
Like I know a lot of people I talk to, and some people are the first time I meet them is the day they come in the studio. But I was like, oh, I barely have to make any notes for Tim outside of, I wanted to make sure I got that right though, that you've been in business originally as TNS and now as Backslash. For 20 years.
Yeah, 20 years. We had our 20-year celebration a couple months ago and our rebrand at the same time. But it's flown by. And I keep thinking, oh, it's not that big of a deal. And I actually gave a talk earlier this year. I was really embarrassed, which I don't embarrass very easily. But I said the talk was on 20 lessons for 20 years. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, show of hands, who's been in business, owned or at the same company for 5 years, 10, 15, 20? My expectation was at 20 years, like three or four people would have their hand up. And I'd say, okay, well, congratulations, everyone. It's not just me. Nobody else had their hand up. And I was like, oh, this looks like I'm bragging now. This was not what I meant to do. Because to me, it's just like, you know, stick with it and learn lessons. I mean, right. I'm just a stubborn guy. And so I've been in business 20 years is how I feel about it. But, you know, I underestimate, you know, the value of that sometimes for sure.
I tell people that I've been in business of some sort for 37 years.
Sure.
Because I started my first business when I was a teenager.
Yeah.
And sometimes I throw that 37 number out. People are like,
they're like, wait a second.
That does that. Like, oh, yeah, I started when I was 15. Oh, right. Okay. Well, now it starts to add up a
yeah.
little bit.
Yeah.
Which is always nice when people think maybe you're younger than yeah. you are.
Well, and it's nice even, I mean, this specific business, I was relatively young when I started at 25. And so there's not a lot of people that have started a business at 25 and are still running the same business, right. you know, 20 years later for sure.
As a startup, you really have to be cognizant of if you're leading the company, right? Like I'm the CEO, so I am working with the team and our lawyers to create a corporate structure that not only will support what we're doing now, but will also support our future exit, right. Which is important, especially in the fundraising.
Yes.
You have to have a planned exit. For us, it's acquisition. Our goal is to be acquired by a big dog.
And there are many big dogs and they are very, very big. They're very capable of acquiring anyone they really want, right?
And they're picky.
Right.
So you have to really make sure that at this early stage, you're setting yourself up for success. You are assessing not only your corporate structure, but all of your documents, every single player that you're allowing into your company at that end stage is going to be scrutinized. Because, you know, their due diligence team is 50 plus people,
right.
and they're going to go through every single piece of documentation you have. So you really want to make sure that everything that is being done now is setting you up for success for your eventual end game, whatever that looks like for you. And so it's hugely important that you build a good team and that you create a strategy that not only will support what you need to do now, but also will not cripple you. Right. In the future.
Right. Or paint you into a corner.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. And unfortunately, I mean, as a startup, you're dealing with risk in terms of will the product work, right? Because we're all trying to create something out of nothing. And so there's always going to be some risk associated with investing in
Certainly.
A startup.
You there know, has to be.
Has to be, especially yeah. in healthcare, because unfortunately, while I would love to have this data, I can't just throw this on a human, you know?
It has to be done in a certain, very specific way. Yes.
Yeah, there is a process to make that happen. And so there are certain risks associated with that. And so you have to find the right investors who understand those risks, too. If you're dealing with super risk-averse people, maybe angel investing or VC investing is not quite the space for you.
Or someone
right
who's
now.
Looking for an immediate return.
Exactly. Right. Talking about that too. Because right now the market, a lot of the US is really focusing on SaaS or computer right. software things. Because mm-hmm. that return, you're looking at less than 5 years, right. you're hopefully gonna have some type of money back. For healthcare, while the payout is potential to be much bigger, the market size is giant. And you know, we're looking at acquisitions upwards of $100 million plus dollars in some cases.
Thank you for listening to the Golden Group Strategic Growth Podcast. Please subscribe so you never miss an episode. Follow the Golden Group on social media. For more information, past episodes, or to contact us, please visit thegoldengroup.com.